Chapter 2. A Ghost. The Choice. Oath of Moment. A figure emerged from the low wreaths of curdled mist before the blockade about the tunnel mouth. In the dimness, Rubio saw the unmistakable bulk of a figure in legion-grade power armor, moving towards them with steady purpose. Every weapon on the line of the barricade went up to firing position and drew ready. The Ultramarines had suffered badly at the betrayal of the word-bearers, and they would not be so trusting a second time. But as the figure fell into range of the light from the barricade's glowing lumo-globes, Rubio saw not the dark, brazen livery of the traitors, but armor the shade of a storm cloud.
"He bears no Legion's colors," said the Ultramarine. "What trickery is this?"
With a whip-crack gesture, Gaius had his men take aim, and he called out,
"You there! Halt and be recognized! In the Emperor's name, stand to and state your intentions!"
Slowly, the figure in grey shouldered his bolter and surveyed the line of Ultramarines, each of them a heartbeat from gunning him down. He lingered on Rubio's commander, measuring him with a glance.
"Captain Gaius, you're a difficult man to find."
Heedless of the weapons ranged against him, the legionary walked boldly through the barricades until he was face to face with the officer. It was all Rubio could do not to let a breath of his psychic senses reach out and take the measure of this new arrival. Perhaps the warrior sensed that, as his helmet turned, the fathomless eye lenses scanning the Codicia intently.
"I will have your name and rank," demanded Gaius.
"As you wish," replied the new arrival, "although I'll warrant you will learn nothing from them. I am Nathaniel Garrow, and as for rank, once I was a battle captain, but now I have none, as you would know it."
Rubio could not stop himself from speaking.
"Then what are you?"
He studied Garrow for a long moment.
"You stand before us in denuded armor, bereft of insignia, and this on a battleground where the enemy were once men we called kindred."
Something in the way this warrior carried himself chimed with a distant memory from deep in Rubio's past, a glimpse of an image once seen in a millennia-old reliquary.
"You caught death, Garrow, like some ancient knight-errant."
When he spoke again, there was a dry smile in Garrow's voice.
"That's as good a title as any, brother."
Gaius saw little that brooked amusement, however.
"If you are not a son of Ultramar, or one of Lorgar's traitor whelps, then why are you here on Kalth?"
The captain eyed the intruder coldly.
"I am in command here, and you will answer me."
Garrow's manner hardened.
"I do not dispute your command, but the higher authority here is mine. See."
He bowed slightly, and by the glow of the lumens, a hidden rune across the shoulders of his plate suddenly became visible. Rubio saw a stylized eye, scribe encoded into the atomic lattice of the ceramite sheath by Mizon Beam.
"The sigil of Malkador."
He knew the symbol. They all did. It was the personal mark of the Regent of Terra, and those who bore it were proxy to the Emperor's closest confidant. The rune would allow this Garrow to go where he wished, and as the instrument of Malkador's will, to countermand any order, even that of a ranked officer. The sharp intake of breath from Captain Gaius told Rubio that his commander shared his thoughts.
"My mission on Kalth is at the behest of the Sigilite, and the Emperor, Captain," Garrow went on. "That is all you need know for now."
Gaius's steady gaze did not waver, but Rubio saw the slight stiffening of the captain's jaw and knew it for the signifier it was.
"So be it," allowed his commander. "But I warn you not to interfere with my mission. That mark of yours will be no shield to you when the turncoats attempt to breach our lines."
The captain stalked away, and Rubio found the new arrival's gaze on him once more.
"You are Brother Codicia Tylos Rubio," said Garrow.
He shook his head.
"I am only Brother Rubio, nothing more."
After a moment, Garrow gave a nod.
"As you wish."
The matter of the intruder dealt with for the moment, the legionaries manning the rail tunnel barricade returned to their duty, and slowly the poisoned night faded. Now dawn was coming, but it would be a sunrise like no other over Kalth's frigid, frost-rimed landscape. Through the night, oxygen levels had continued to drop until now only a toxic breath of atmosphere remained to shroud the planet. Soon it would be a wasteland, all native flora and fauna suffocated and dead. Only the war would live on. Silent inside the seals of his war gear, Brother Rubio watched the warrior Garrow prepare his bolter for combat with swift and careful motions. It was clear he knew the weapon intimately, and from the numerous honor lines acid etched into the frame and grip, it had seen many battles at his side. The warrior made a pretense of keeping to himself, but Rubio saw through that. Garrow was observing everything around him, his attention returning time and again to Captain Gaius as the officer moved among his men. Is Garrow here for the captain? Rubio examined the question in his thoughts. Has Gaius transgressed in some way, and now this stranger arrives from out of the darkness to claim him? He had no answer to that, but he was certain of one thing. Nathaniel Garrow had come to Kalth to judge them. A dark impulse in the depths of his mind stirred at the thought of being found unworthy by an agent of the Sigillite. And yet, another inner voice dared to ask by what right this man could put the ultramarines of the 21st to the question. What conviction there was in Rubio had been severely tested in the last few days, and it was close to breaking point. It would be simple to gaze into him, he thought. It would only require the most infinitesimal use of his prohibited witch sight. Just to see, to know if Garrow was what he appeared to be. In that moment, for one fraction of a second, Rubio's iron concentration wavered, and something slipped into his psyche. He stiffened, and suddenly a vision came to him. The real world hazed and turned to fluid, slipping away, becoming dreamlike echoes all around. He heard the thudding of his own heartbeat. Skeins of absolute and infinite frayed in Rubio's mind, unraveling and reordering themselves. He tried to reel back and shutter the sensation away, but it was too late. The vision was upon him, his silent codicia's powers engulfing him for one brief instant. And in that crystalline moment, he saw. A battle in full flow, bolter fire and the screams of crazed attackers. Battle, red in blade and black in shell, and there, fallen upon the icy ground, Gaius. Armor cracks and snaps under a terrible weight. Gaius cries out in agony, dying. Rubio sees himself reach out, his blood roaring in his ears, desperate to reach his commander, to save him before his life is crushed from his flesh.
Rubio!
Garrow's voice shattered his hallucination, and the ultramarine gasped and shook off the moment, the taint of psychic energy dissipating faster than it had arrived. He cursed his brief lapse of control and rose, waving Garrow away, but the other legionaries strode closer. Did the grey-armoured warrior know? Would Rubio's moment of distraction cost him dearly? He struggled to process what he had witnessed in the flash of future scene. The captain struck down, dying. Dead.
No, he whispered. It has not come to pass.
Rubio shrugged off the fragments of the vision, denying it. He had shown weakness, that was all. A moment of lost focus, and it had been enough for the warp to poison him. The Emperor's decree was not to be questioned.
Brother!
Garrow was at his side, reaching for his arm.
Do you not see them coming? Quickly! To your gun! See what?
Belatedly, he understood that his reverie had been deeper than he'd realized. The words had barely left his lips before the first report of mortar fire shrieked through the air and blasted a rockcrete piling into shrapnel. The stone walls trembled, dust raining down on them, and in the echo of the blast a new sound reached Rubio's ears. The oncoming roar of massed attackers.
The enemy returns, said Garrow, and in great number. We must make ready for battle. The captain,
Rubio cast around, searching for his commander, fearing the worst. His brief stab of dread faded when he found him. Gaius stood atop a barrier across the tunnel mouth, his battle cloak flaring open behind him, his bolt pistol aimed and ready. The captain raised the giant mailed glove of his power fist and punched the sky.
Hold the line, my kinsmen, he shouted, earning a roar from his men, for courage and honor.
Rubio bared his teeth and set forward, as bolt-fire and las-beams cut into the rails and the stony ground, the ruined dawn finally breaking beyond the barricade. He raced into the fray to meet the hordes of the enemy, and found Garrow at his side. The scarred warrior drew his shining silver sword and set it cutting arcs through the air to cleave chests and take heads. The masses of the Brotherhood of the Knife, clad in makeshift breather masks and pitiful remnants of armor, died in their droves. Gaius led the way, at the very tip of the arrowhead that was the legionary blockade. The cultists, screaming and shivering in the frigid cold, were pushed to greater and greater heights of bloodthirst through madness and fear. Their masters among the word-bearers had driven them into this mad tumult, and their only respite would be to die choking the guns of the loyalist space marines. The captain fought deep, as an army of insane zealots rode over him in a wave. There were so many of them that by sheer weight of numbers they toppled Rubio's commander from his feet, slamming him into the steel rails crisscrossing the ground. For long seconds the heap of screaming, murderous cultists heaved and shivered, and finally exploded outwards as Gaius burst free of their suffocating grip. Every hammer blow strike from his power fist took a life, shattering their brittle bodies. Rubio stepped to his post and followed his captain's example, ignoring the torrent of pain that lanced through his skull in echo of his vision. He tried to force it away, ignore it. He did not succeed. Close at hand, Garrow fought hard, the lone warrior's grey armor now smeared with blood and smoke dirt. He was possessed of keen, intense focus, and every stroke of his sword, every bolt shell expended, was placed where it would do the maximum amount of damage. Rubio saw light glitter off the brass eagle head on Garrow's ornate chest plate, and once again wondered who this man might be. He fought with the poise and cold lethality of a seasoned veteran. Then Garrow spun in place as something caught his sight. He stabbed out with his sword towards a ridge in the middle distance. "There! This is only the precursor! Enemy incoming! Close the line!" The ultramarine heard a sound like the grinding of gigantic break-tooth gears, and from behind the ridgeline emerged a great construct of plasteel and cables, armor and brass. With a grating noise, with pistons spitting foul steam, it clattered across the stone on six jointed piston-hissing legs, crab-walking as it crushed the unwary in its path. An angular turret thrust up from the centre of the machine thing's mass, overloaded with gun cupolas and missile tubes in organ-pipe profusion. It had a main cannon made of black iron, the yawning muzzle dripping with penitent chains. The mechanism moved like it was alive, its flanks daubed in arterial red and dressed in the ebon detailing of the word-bearers. It defiled the ground underfoot with every heavy step. As one, the ultramarines turned their fire upon it, but if anything, the attack seemed to enrage the monstrosity. Rubio watched as it rocked forwards and broke into a skittering run, far faster than something of such bulk should ever have moved. Mass reactive bolt shells, plasma rounds, and short-range missile impacts all found their mark on the war machine, ripping into it. But on it came, catching a fire, bearing down on the central barricade, and upon it the captain of the 21st Company. Rubio's blood turned to ice. "Gaius!" his shouted warning split the air, but too late. Things fell into place. Too late, he saw the moment unfolding once again. The battle, red in blade and black in shell. Rubio broke off and threw himself into a heedless headlong charge, swatting aside any enemy that dared to block his path. He had to stop it. He knew what was coming, and he had to stop it. Gaius's helmet turned, as the captain registered Rubio's cry and saw him come running. But then the battle engine's cannon spoke, and Rubio was ripped from the ground by the catastrophic shock of impact. He tumbled and spun, landing hard with a bone-shaking crash that brought the taste of copper to his lips. He tried to rise, and there before him he saw a metallic leg collide with his captain's chest and ram him down. Garrow turned as he heard Rubio's cry of anguish. The shout was immediately lost in the brutal noise of armor cracking and snapping under a terrible, inexorable weight. Captain Gaius's ornate chestplate splintered with a sound like the snapping of bones, and his dark blood spattered across the rail lines in wet splashes of colour, freezing instantly where it fell. Garrow's teeth ground behind the forbidding mask of his helmet, and he silently cursed the defiler machine as it ended the life of another loyal scion of Terra. It howled and grumbled as it half-stumbled on legs damaged by sustained fire. One metal limb was hanging lifeless from oil-spitting hinges, but the construct still fought on, returning chugs of cannonade towards the defenders around the tunnel mouth. It reared up like an angry arachnid, and the legionary caught sight of Brother Rubio as he fought to drag the captain's battered body into cover. The construct hooted and went for him, intent on ending the Ultramarine's life as brutally as his captain's. "No!" snarled Garrow, and he bounded from a tumble-down marble column, boots crunching on broken stones as he marshalled his strength to leap high. The warrior in storm-dark armour led with his sword and landed with a resonant clang atop the traitor engine's turret. It rocked and twisted like a bear attacked by a wolf, trying to dislodge him. Garrow spun the length of Libertas around his gauntlets and plunged the point of the power sword into the apex of the turret, where a screaming skull mask glared out with eyes of burning black. Oily fluids jetted from the savage cut, and the machine shook, almost as if it were in agony. Ultramarines from the company's Devastator squads were closing, heavy las cannons, plasma weapons, and multi-melters in their mailed fists. His close-quarter attack was enough to distract the machine, giving Rubio time to get clear and the Devastators the moment they needed. He shouted into his vox, struggling to hold on. "Kill this thing! Do it now!" An inferno of white heat, las beams, and rocket strikes engulfed the traitor engine, and it recoiled. The legionary heard an echoing rattle that was almost a screech before the spider-legged tank finally threw him off in its shuddering death throes. Garrow landed hard, still clutching his sword, and rolled behind a slab of rockcrete as the machine met its end. The tank thing exploded in a blast of flame, sending a storm of cursed metal fragments clattering to the frozen ground. The detonation broke the lines of the few cultists still standing, and those not executed by bolt fire from Rubio's kinsmen died from the force of the explosive shockwave. As Garrow pulled himself to his feet, silence fell, the dead air leaden and threatening. He took a moment to climb atop the remains of the shattered barricade where Captain Gaius had briefly stood. From the vantage point, Garrow could see out across the ridgeline to where the next wave of the enemy were massing. The optics in his helmet picked out targets at a distance, matching silhouettes to known threat vectors. Word-bearers. The army of the Primarch Lorgar, his most dedicated warrior fanatics, and until recently men considered kindred battle-brothers under the aegis of the Emperor of Mankind. Cold, repellent rage rose in Garrow's chest as he beheld them. Was there no end to the spread of traitors' rot through the legions? The sons of Horus, the world-eaters, the Emperor's children, even his own Death Guard, all had taken the turncoat path against the will of the Emperor, against his divine will. And now the word-bearers would be counted among the renegades, damned forever for their rebellion, their betrayal marked in the blood of the Ultramarines. His aspect grim, Garrow stepped down and turned away. They were coming, and in a force far greater than the remnants of the 21st Company could muster. Gaius's men would die defending the tunnel to Numinus, and the route to the city would be lost. It was inevitable. But that was not his concern. Garrow's objective lay elsewhere. Brother Rubio's head was bent over the body of Captain Gaius as he approached. The Ultramarine crossed the dead warrior's heavy ceramite gauntlets over his chest, in the sign of the Imperial Aquila, and then saluted again, this time in the old pre-unification manner, a bald fist to his chest. Rubio glanced up at him, and Garrow imagined he felt the warrior's angry eyes glaring out through the ruby lenses of his helmet.
"My captain is dead," he said at length. "He gave his life with nobility."
"Aye," Garrow nodded, and framed his next words with care. It was time to make his mission plain. "That he did. But you could have prevented this." Rubio reacted as if he had been struck, stiffening in shock.
"You dare?"
"I know what you are, brother. What you are capable of." Garrow spoke quietly, so their conversation did not carry beyond them.
I know what you once were before Nykaia, before you gave up your hood and your blade. A psyker. He gestured at the captain's corpse. You could have mind spoken to him. You might even have been able to shield Gaius with a wall of psychic force. Yet you did not.
Rubio's manner shifted, and he advanced on the other legionary, his armored hands balling into fists.
I have my orders.
He spat the reply back at him.
I will not challenge the decree.
And yet, even as he spoke, Garrow heard the conflict churning beneath the surface of Rubio's words. The ultramarine was caught between bonds of loyalty to brethren and company and his oath to Primarch and Emperor. What torment must it be for him to know that one had been sacrificed to the demand of the other? It was a pain that Garrow knew only too well.
My captain is dead,
Rubio went on, his bitterness strong and dark.
Whatever you wanted with him, knight-errant, you came too late.
Garrow gave a slow shake of his head.
I didn't come to Kalth for Gaius. I came for you, Tylos Rubio, under orders from Malkador the Sigillite.
He let that statement register with the ultramarine before pushing on.
Malkador has commanded me to gather a host of warriors from across the legions and bring them to the Imperial Palace. You are the first of that number, and if my mission is to be fulfilled, we must leave now.
Rubio's anger ebbed, and he shook his head, disbelieving.
What you ask is impossible.
Not so. Time is against us, and we must move quickly. If the word-bearers launch their attack, we will be trapped here.
He looked up into the tormented sky.
I need only transmit a machine call signal to summon my Stormbird. We will recover to my ship, and then...
No!
Rubio spoke over him.
You would have me leave the side of my sworn battle brothers in their darkest hour? I refuse!
It is the Sigillite's command,
Garrow repeated.
His word is the Emperor's word.
The other legionary stood silent for a long moment. Then he drew himself up.
The Sigillite's command be damned. You give me no recourse, Garrow. And so, on my honor as a son of Macragg, I choose to defy it. Even if it means I will perish here, even if you color me a rebel like Lorgar's turncoats, I defy it.
It was not the answer he had expected. Garrow looked down at the sword in his hand. The impassive reflection of his battle helmet was reflected in the sheen of the adamantine blade. The fire in the ultramarine's heart burned strong, and the other warrior felt the echo of it in himself.
If our roles had been reversed, Rubio's words would be my own.
He felt the flash of cold certainty at that, and he could find no fault with them.
Very well, said Garrow. If that is so, then I choose to stand with you. We will embrace defiance together.
Rubio eyed him.
If you have leave to escape this place, you should take it. Remain, and there will be only death. An honorable death, perhaps, but an end, nonetheless.
Behind his helmet, Garrow smiled.
We shall see.
Shoulder to shoulder, they met the advance of the traitors at the entrance to the vast stone tunnel with a clamor like unleashed thunder. The horde of armored warriors stormed the barrier in unfettered wild array, their bolt guns blazing and vile battle cries in their throats. The absolute ferocity of the assault was a shocking, brutal thing, breaking in a wave of fire and blood across the barricades and the dug-in lines of the defenders. The word-bearers threw themselves into the attack with a mad fervor that outstripped even the crazed offensive of the cultist hordes. Every ultramarine's gun was discharged, but for each of them there were five times that number of Lorgar's fanatic warriors, and the punishing momentum of their onslaught tore through the barriers, shattering the lines and riding forwards in a surge of blackened armor. The word-bearers had always been known for their extremist, militant behaviors. During the years of the Great Crusade to reunite the lost colonies of humankind, many worlds that had fallen under the shadow of the 17th Legion had felt their wrath. Those who did not pay proper obeisance to the Emperor were punished mercilessly, so much so that the Master of Mankind had personally rebuked their Primarch Lorgar, chastising him for fostering idolatry of his father and violence beyond the pale. Some believed Vlorgar and his legion had heeded these lessons, but now it seemed clear that, if anything, they had rejected their lord and found a new path. A path of cruelty and carnage, fueled by raw hate and new gods. Garrow's blade sang, and his bolter roared as the battle lines crossed and recrossed. He silenced the inner voice that rebelled at the notion of fighting fellow legionaries and bore down, reminding himself that these turncoats were no longer worthy of that name. These were traitors of the basest nature. The armor of the word-bearers, usually a uniform ebon shade, was deliberately smeared with what could only be human blood. The legion symbol of a burning book upon their pauldrons had been daubed over with an eight-pointed star and a crude rendition of a screaming face. This self-desecration only stoked Garrow's anger higher, and he fought with righteous fury, striking down traitors with sweeps of his sword and blasts of bolt shells. Close by, Rubio released bursts of bolter fire that blasted attacking warriors back in spiraling, bloody heaps. With each man they put down, more took his place. Garrow's gorge rose as he saw a group of word-bearers kill an ultramarine with a hurricane of storm bolter fire. To his disgust, even when the legionary fell dead to the ground, they continued to desecrate his body, unloading round after round into the twitching mess of the corpse, and as they did so, he heard them laughing. The wicked malice was like nothing Garrow had ever seen from another legionary. The word-bearers took delight in what they were doing, savouring it. He felt sickened inside.
"They keep coming," Rubio ground out the words. "Eyes of terror! Have they brought the whole legion to fight us?"
Garrow refused to flinch in the face of such odds.
"This will not end well, but in his name we will make them pay for every step of their advance."
He raised his blade and bellowed,
"Ave Imperator!"
His battle cry echoed, and he killed another traitorkin. But his words rang a hollow note. All around, the defenders were running low on ammunition, pacing each shot, making every bolt and beam count. Meanwhile, the word-bearers were crazed in their abandon, strafing the barricades and filling the air with the stench of promethium and spent cordite. The press of death was close at hand, and finally, as a fresh surge of attackers pushed forwards, the cry went up among the lines of the ultramarines.
"Fall back!" shouted Rubio. "To the tunnel! Close up and fall back!"
Garrow followed, silently cursing circumstance as he sprinted out of the icy air and into the gloomy, frost-rimed stone of the rail tunnel. Behind him, the word-bearers screamed their hate and came running. Rubio beckoned, and Garrow's blood ran cold as he dared to glance over his shoulder. He spied a gathering of hulking, angular shapes emerging from amid the howling lines of the traitors. The giant forms pushed forwards, shouldering their own men aside, bringing up heavy, multi-barreled weapons bristling with firepower.
"Terminators!"
The ultramarines spat a curse at the enemy cadre as they advanced in steady, iron-limbed lockstep. The towering, thick-set figures were twice the mass of any line legionary, and the suits of heavy-powered armor lumbered forwards, effortlessly dismissing the rain of lasbolts and mass-reactive shells sleeting from their war gear. Rubio ranged around, but it quickly became clear that there were not enough heavy weapons to put down the line of steel ceramite leviathans. Crack grenades pushed them back, but only for a moment. The line advanced on, breaching barricade after barricade, while the rest of the word-bearers fell in behind them, delivering a cascade of support fire. The Terminators tore open every target they chose. Lines of tracer from massed combi bolters and the spinning muzzles of autocannons shredded the bodies of the defenders. Ultramarines fell dead, red ruins marring the flawless blue of their power armor. Rubio felt a hand on his vambrace and turned to find Garrow pointing with his sword.
"We cannot hold this line," said the warrior in ghost grey. "We have only a few moments before the Terminators enter the tunnel. We must pull back."
"To where?" snarled Rubio. "Do we keep retreating down this tunnel until we reach the gates of Numinous? We have no cover in here. If we show them our backs, we will be cut down."
He shook his head.
"The colors of Ultramar do not run."
"Then we will die here."
Garrow's matter-of-fact reply only served to stoke Rubio's annoyance further.
"You will have defied one order to perish for another, and your battle brothers along with you."
The ultramarine's face twisted in frustration.
"Damn you, Garrow! You leave me no choice."
Garrow shook his head.
No, brother. You have already made this choice. It is only now that you understand that.
He loaded his last clip into his bolter and opened fire. Rubio watched the survivors of the 21st Company as they were forced back, deeper into the throat of the tunnel, by the endless deluge of rounds. What little daylight could enter the wide passageway was lost behind the lumbering shapes of the Terminators, as they crossed the railhead and entered the tunnel proper. The black shadows were illuminated by the cruciform muzzle flashes of their guns, stark light showing scowling, feral-faced helmets crested with horns and tusks. Rubio heard his comrades screaming as they fell. This was no longer an attack. It had become an execution.
Not again. No more.
The flash of pain Rubio had felt at the death of Captain Gaius lashed through him once again.
I will suffer this no more.
The ultramarine let his spent bolter fall from his grip to the floor and sucked in a shuddering breath, raising his hands before him, curling them into claws. He let it happen, allowing himself to reach deep inside and draw out what was needed. Immediately he felt the old familiar crackle of eldritch power dwelling at the base of his skull, twisting and turning like a spear of lightning confined in a bottle. All the cantrips and the memes, the key phrases and thought forms he had banned from his mind after the passing of the decree, all these things he allowed to return to him. The tainted air around Rubio took on a greasy, electric texture, the sense of a force beyond human understanding dancing at the edge of awareness. Rubio saw Garrow giving him the distance he needed, saw his battle brothers shaking their heads, but it was too late to stop it now. The power was there. It had never left him, instead following Rubio through his actions like a shadow in the warp. It came easily. It was potent, heady, and like his fury, it strained for liberation. Tiny flickers of electric discharge danced between the tips of his fingers as he aimed his hands towards the advancing line of enemy Terminators. Without the shroud of a psychic hood to collimate it, his power would be fierce and hard to control. But Rubio was ready. If he did not do this, they would all die. He knelt and gave his rage its release. A blinding blue daybreak took brief life as a massive blast of shimmering energy cascaded down in a wave, striking the Terminators. The brief storm of psionic discharge swept across the passageway and engulfed the word-bearers, for the first time forcing them to scream in torment rather than zeal. Then, as the power found its level, the mouth of the tunnel above cracked and fractured, breaking under the strain of warp-kissed energy. With a thunderous rumble, the roof caved inwards. Like the closing of a set of vast jaws, black stone slammed down, sealing off the passage and burying the Terminators under tons and tons of shattered rock. Time blurred. There, in the aftermath. Garrow stalked through the lines of the other ultramarines, all of them hesitant and unsure what they had just witnessed. He knew by the motions of their helmets that they were speaking to one another on a coded vox channel that he could not access. But it mattered little. He did not care to hear what they believed. Garrow found Rubio crouching in a circle of seared, fused stone. He offered his hand, and the young ultramarine took it, pulling himself up from the ground with a grunt of effort. The Psyker removed his helmet and, for the first time, looked upon him with his own eyes. Garrow mirrored the gesture, and the two warriors measured each other. He saw a great sadness and felt a sting of guilt at the knowledge he was its author.
"It is done," Rubio said, his tone bleak. "The enemy is beaten, and this path to Numinous is denied to them. And all it cost me was to defy my Primarch and my Emperor."
"Your brothers survived," said Garrow.
"Take that as a reward."
Rubio did not answer him. Instead, he moved around the figure in grey and took a step towards the other ultramarines, who now gathered in a loose group, tending to their wounded. They halted in their ministrations as Rubio came closer, and he stopped, seemingly unsure of what would happen next, even as he had to know that it would. As one, each of the battle brothers of the 21st Company averted their eyes and turned their backs on Rubio. No matter that he had saved them,
No matter that he had protected the path to the city from enemy invasion, he had disobeyed a decree absolute, and for that the sons of Gilliman had no forgiveness. Garo drew Libertas, and Rubio spun at the ring of the blade upon its sheath, fixing him with a furious glare.
Are you satisfied?
The other warrior spat the words.
Do you have what you came here for?
Not yet. Garo held the sword out, the point down towards the ground.
Place your hand upon the blade.
Rubio advanced, his anger towering.
You forced me into this. You cost me my brothers. And now you demand an oath.
Garo shook his head slowly, and he gave voice to the truth of it.
These men are no longer your brothers. You are a ghost. Now, place your hand on the blade.
A torrent of conflicting emotions raged across Rubio's face as the reality of his circumstances became clear, undeniable, and resolute. At length, he removed a gauntlet and let it drop to the ground. Then he reached out and touched the sword. Garo gave a grave nod.
Tylos Rubio, do you accept your role in this? Will you dedicate yourself to the orders of the Regent of Terra and put aside all other claims upon your honor? Do you pledge yourself in this oath of moment?
Something dark, like sorrow, flickered in the warrior's eyes.
By this matter and this weapon, I so swear.
He said the words as if they were a sentence of death.
I can do nothing else.